Certainly thankful for the song service, for each one of you, and for the prayer that was offered up on the behalf of the Lord's people, and would honestly contend for your prayers as we continue to go forward this morning. Had a lot of thoughts on my mind, and you know, when you prepare for Sunday, sometimes you have thoughts, you begin to think of scriptures, they come to you, and pretty soon, if you're like me, it's like chasing jackrabbits. You're going down this road one time, and the next time you're going down another road. So pray that the Lord would lead me in the way that he'd have me to go. And it's just the way, the nature of it. I've had it happen. Sometimes I was going to study this out and preach on this. And as I got to dwelling on it, I went in a whole different direction. Anyway, we need God's help. I know that you do. This is not my subject this morning, but you know, in the book of Luke, when Jesus Christ was baptized, the heaven was opened. The heaven was opened, and you'll find in God's word, every time heaven was opened, something miraculous happened. Something great happened, something that was just unbelievable. In the last chapter of the book of Luke, it says that he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And friends, that's what we need to do. You know, when Jesus came up out of that water and the heaven was opened, what happened? The Holy Spirit was descending upon him in the form of a dove. We need that in our lives and in our churches. We need to pray that heaven would be open to us in our lives and in our churches. We certainly need the power of God's Spirit. And if there is to be a change in our decline, you might say, of Christianity all across this land, it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to come through my preaching or any other man's preaching. It's going to come through God and God alone. As I think about the scriptures, I've spoken a lot over the last several months about the importance of God's word. And nonetheless, I continue with those thoughts today. How much do we use God's word in our lives? We're told that the words of the Lord are pure. And we ought to give thought to the benefit of God's word in our life. You know, I've thought about God's word in a number of ways. We come here on Sunday, and Lord willing, the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, and hopefully we're blessed to hear it, and we do have some degree of understanding. But the question is, how much do we put into God's word day in and day out in our lives? The Bible tells us that we who are born of the Spirit need to be spiritually fed. And yet, from a natural standpoint, most of us do not just eat on Sunday. I mean, how many of us, is there anyone here that just eats their meal on Sunday and never eats again till the next Sunday? I mean, honestly, when we look at where we are as a people and the condition that the country's in, as I spoke last week, it oughtn't to be of any surprise. And I still believe that one of the greatest failures amongst God's people today is the departure of God's word. Not only do we hear, but we learn. You know, Proverbs says a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Well, you know, it's not only the hearing of the gospel that's under consideration. It's the hearing of God speaking to you through his written word. When you read his word, when you study his word. I often thought, where would our children be in this world? And this is something that's extremely important. Where would our children be if we closed down all the schools and the universities? Now, I'll grant you, God has obligated us as parents not only to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which means to tutor them, to train them one-on-one in the ways of the Lord. I will raise my hand and admit to you I'm a great failure in that category. But regardless of that, God's truth stands. And that's part of the dilemma that we're in. But yet, where would we be in a physical and a natural sense if we didn't train our children? Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's a serious command, not just some good advice that's given to fathers concerning their children. There should be nothing more important in the life of a father and a mother than to train their children in the way that they should go. Nothing more important in this life. Not the TV programs that might be coming on, not the events down the street, but the training of one's child. There is just nothing more important than that. And if you don't train them, the world will. The world has trained so many of our children, including many of us here to some extent, that we've kind of lost our way. But Scripture is so important. You know, it's the ways of life. Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The words of our Lord won't pass away. They'll never pass away. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that salvation under consideration is not just eternal salvation. It's deliverance from every error that there is in this world, every false teaching that comes along, and all the corruption that fulfills us in our lives. There's a deliverance that's not just eternal. There's one that's timely, right here and now. And it's found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Why? Why should he take heed unto that, to himself and unto the doctrine? In doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, you know Timothy could not possibly save someone from death and trespasses and sins. The salvation under consideration was from error in false doctrines and false teachings, if you'll go back to the first of the chapter. But there's a deliverance had in the Word of God, not only from death and trespasses and sins, but from error and difficulty that we face here in this life. And we're told that Timothy was wise. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. You know, Job was said to be a man who was perfect. He wasn't perfect and sinless like Jesus Christ, but he was complete. Notice what it says in verse 17, that the man of God, that the child of God may be perfect, complete. Scripture is what we have set before us every day that we might be complete. You know, if you want your children to learn how to read and learn how to write, learn how to do arithmetic, they go to school, don't they? Matter of fact, we send them to school, we put out all kinds of money, we do everything we can to train that child in a natural way. And we look around, and Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. We look around and we wonder why we are where we are. There's nothing more valuable than God's word in our life. For young fathers and young mothers, you know, we sit here today and we see the dilemma we're in, but you know, there's always hope in the God of hope. He is the God of all hope. But it can begin with young mothers and young fathers understanding the importance of training up their children in the way of the Lord. Train up your child in the way of the Lord, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. But that training is something that needs to be done on a consistent basis. And I'm afraid that we have not done what we should have done because we have not taken the Word of God in all seriousness as we should as part of our lives. You know, when Paul was about to die, when Paul said, "For I'm now ready to be offered," in chapter 4, and the time of my departure is at hand, Paul began to make Timothy understand that his life was about done. This was a man who had suffered through many things, more so than I ever have, but he wasn't concerned about himself. There's no doubt in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that Timothy was very discouraged. But it was Paul's desire to encourage Timothy in the ways of the Lord because Paul knew that there were things that were going to come to pass that would be difficult. Things that needed to be understood, that the Scriptures were important. He had already told him all Scripture is of divine inspiration. Now the men who wrote Scripture were not inspired, but the Word was inspired. That means to breathe upon. These words were breathed upon over 40 men over the course of 1,600 years in two continents and in three languages, and you have before you the written Word of God. It is God's words. The one who created you and I, the one who gave us the very life that we live, who breathed life into our nostrils when we became a living soul, the one that gives us hope not only here but in heaven. A hope that you and I have as an anchor of our soul. You know, I believe that what separates us from the average person in the world. A lot of people wish for this, that, and the other, but you and I have a hope that is the anchor of our soul, an earnest expectation that one day we will rest in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. Resting in the Lord Jesus Christ is something that I believe every child of God yearns for, a peace that passeth understanding, a love that you and I cannot possibly describe. But God's written word is given to us here in this time for our benefit. All scripture is divinely inspired. That there ought to tell us something. You know, there are many reasons that God's people don't read the Bible. I'll give you the number one reason that I believe is the reason I did. I just didn't like to read. I spent most of my life not reading. Just didn't like it, so I just didn't read it. But how do we equip ourselves and our children for the issues of life, the difficulties of life, if we don't make it an important part of our life? I believe that over time there has been a departure from reading the Word of God. I remember back when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, I spent every summer living with my grandfather in Olton, Texas, learning how to farm. And I'm going to tell you, they read the Bible pretty regularly. Now, I'm not saying they got up from sunup to sundown and read it, but he read it a lot, which he wasn't as distracted in those days as maybe we are today. But I'm just telling you, there was a difference 40 or 50 years ago than there is today. There's a change that's taken place. And I believe a departure from God's Word and from the preaching of the gospel is the reason we are where we are. You know, there's one thing that really concerns me in the day and age in which we live. I know people that go to church of different orders, and they will explain something to you, what they believe, and they can no more tell you where they got that belief than a man in the moon. They really can't. This is how they feel. Let me tell you what man tries to do when he doesn't study God's Word. He tries to bring man down, God down to man's level, and he embraces God as another man. He thinks, but God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways than your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth. There are things that you and I will never understand. You know, when we go to Romans chapter 9, and a great truth is presented there. For Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. They said the same thing in those days they said today. Is there unrighteousness with God? This is not fair. It cannot be fair. God forbid. For it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Do I understand that completely? No. But I know it is thus saith the Lord. That is what God said. It's, you know, we don't live in the same dimension that God lives in. He created the boundaries of time. You go to Acts chapter 17 and you'll find out that you and I live in these boundaries of time. Time begins when we're born. Time ends when we die. Thank the Lord, time will never be anymore when we die. But during that period, we live in those boundaries and we can't get outside of them. But God doesn't exist in the boundaries of time. He's timeless. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And there are things about the God who created you and I, the God of heaven, that you and I will never understand in this life. And some folks, when they can't embrace it and they can't understand it, they won't have it. But God is not a man. If he was, he wouldn't be God. God is not like you and I. He does not think you and I, like you and I. God is righteousness. Whether we understand that or not, this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, for God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. There is no darkness in the God that you and I serve. He is light and understanding. He gives us in his word what we need to get through this life. Every issue that we'll face is given to us and dealt with in the Word of God. When you have problems in this life, from relationships to children's problems, do you go to the Word of God and read it and try to understand what you need to do to fix it? You know, the Bible was written to God's children. It was written to help God's people in this life. And for that purpose, we ought to read it and we ought to understand it. You know, the Apostle Paul was an evangelist, you would. He went to all the churches and he generally wrote about troubles. He wrote about problems that arose in the churches, what caused those problems and what you and I needed to do or what those folks needed to do to overcome those problems. Those problems are found in the Word of God. We live in a world today, as I said, where many that go to church, they go and they tell you they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe they do. But they don't understand what God says about them or themselves or himself. You know, we believe that God is sovereign. I believe that every doctrinal instruction that we have in the Bible relates back to the sovereignty of God. If God is not sovereign, we cannot depend upon this word. We cannot depend upon the Bible. But I'm here to declare unto you that God is sovereign. That these were God's words. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass. They will be here throughout all eternity. And they're here on display today. Have you ever wondered why the word of God is still with us today? Because of the power of Almighty God. You know, God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And he's omnipresent. That means that God has all power in heaven and earth. You know, we're told in the 19th chapter of Revelation that he's the omnipotent God, almighty. He fills the universe. That is the God for whom you and I serve. You know, I've been around folks that are good God-fearing people that tell you that what if someone's born of the Spirit of God or God sends his Spirit into them and they reject it? You ever heard anything like that? Well, first of all, what they don't realize is they're denying the sovereignty of God when they make that explanation. Some people will declare, I believe that God is sovereign. And then when you begin to understand what they believe, they declare in their belief that he's not sovereign. They just don't realize it. Pray, God, open our understanding. You know, some folks just don't understand, but God is sovereign. God is powerful. All the power of this world belongs to God. You know, he is omnipotent. We know in the 13th chapter of Romans, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do you realize that every power that exists in this universe is a directive of God himself? They're all subject to him. There is no other power. There is no other energy form in the entire universe that's not subject to Almighty God. God created the universe. God created the heavens and the earth. And you, the power that you and I possess to walk down the road or anything else we see in this life are ordained of God himself. That's the powerful, omnipotent God that you and I serve. In creation, when we get over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light immediately. And God said this. And God said that in Genesis chapter 1 in the book of creation. Think about that for just a moment. God spoke and it happened. That's the powerful God that we serve. Yet some will declare that God has the inability to save his people from their sins because the sinner will not cooperate. That makes the sinner more powerful than the Almighty God of heaven. Do you know that? We're told that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. The problem is, if Jesus didn't do all the saving, then you're the Savior. If it's left up to you to make a decision to accept the truth of Jesus Christ, then you're the Savior, not Jesus Christ. You're going to save yourself from eternal hell. But the Bible declares that our hope of salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. He has the power to lay down his life. He had the power to take his life back again. You know, a lot of people talk about Jesus being killed, but no man could have killed the Lord had he not laid down his life. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it again. When Jesus speaks, when the Lord speaks, it happens. It's sure. It's certain. God is sovereign. And these are many of the thoughts I had on him. He has all knowledge, and he has all power. The words of the Lord are pure. You know, I heard somebody preaching one time, and the analogy given in that scripture is the analogy of silver purified in a furnace seven times. And some would say, well, don't get hung up on the silver. But I'm here to tell you, God didn't put that analogy in the Bible for no reason. You see, we don't understand like God understands. We don't think like God. We don't understand like God. God places an analogy in the Bible that a human being might have some degree of understanding of what God meant when he said, my words are pure. The words of the Lord are pure. You see, silver, when you put it in a furnace and you turn up the heat high enough, it burns out all the dross, all the impurities. You know, a lot of times if you go buy something that's silver, pure silver, they'll say 99.9% pure silver. We ain't going to get it to 100%, but the analogy that God wanted you to know there was his words are pure. as close to pure silver as you. That's what we can understand. We can't understand the purity of God. There's no way in this life we can understand how pure God is. He's a God of holiness, a God of righteousness, a God that has never committed a sin in his life. We understand that and we read it, but we really don't understand or know the pureness of our God. But this analogy of silver is a way to direct to you and I how pure this God is that we serve. And these words that we find, divinely inspired words here before us, are pure words. They're God's words. That's why they're pure. God, come upon these men. As we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1, they were overcome by the Holy Ghost. You know, Scripture is not of any private interpretation, but as the Holy Ghost moved upon men, they penned these words. These are God's words. They're powerful words, and they'll make a change and a difference in our lives if we will adhere to the Word. You know, some people are too busy to read God's Word. I told you, I just didn't like to read. I've read a lot more the last 15 years than I did the prior 45 years. But you know, I don't understand that. I had to read, and I had to study, and I had to do anything to learn anything in life. You know that? I didn't learn to read, and I didn't learn to write, and I didn't learn to walk. I didn't do any of those things without making some concerted effort, without studying, without trying. If we're going to understand what God wants us to do, and if we're going to bring glory and honor to his name, it's highly important that we read it. Now, we all have our excuses for not studying and reading God's Word. They're numerous, I'm sure. But when we sit back and look at the condition of children going astray in the country and all the conditions of the young people that have no respect for the elders, and you all witness much of it just as we do, you tell me that it's not a departure from God and God's Word. We need God's Word every day. We don't hear preaching every day. We're called upon by, or told by the Lord, commanded to assemble ourselves, but we're also commanded to study, to seek God's will daily, and to understand what God would have us to do, how he'd have us to live, how he'd have us to honor his name. How can we do those things if we pay no attention to his Word? I believe the world has departed from studying God's Word. You know, we see many people in the world that preach what we call a health and wealth gospel, that if you'll just love Jesus, everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be fine. Matter of fact, they'll tell you that if you'll do these things, Jesus will bless you with all the money in the world and all the pleasures of the world. But I don't find that in God's Word. The Apostle Paul said, I shun not to declare all the counsel of God. The gospel minister will preach the whole counsel of God. You know, a lot of God's counsel is not something that you and I love to hear. But all Scripture is divinely inspired. It's all profitable. It's all profitable for doctrine, for instruction. Instruction in everything and every aspect of our life. It is important. If we want to know how to fix what's going wrong, go to the Word of God. Take some time. Don't just read over it. Take some time and study it. Understand what God says about himself and about us as sinful creatures. Understand it. It's good for instruction. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. And it's good for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto every aspect that he'll face in this life, every good work, every problem. There's a purpose in the gospel for convicting you and I of the error of our ways. That's part of what the purpose of the gospel is. But there is a movement out there in the world today that they don't want to hear any of those things. We spoke of it last Sunday. Go to Isaiah 30. When they wanted to hear about the smooth things. And they said, get the Holy One out of our way. I think it's in verse 11. In other words, God had become a hindrance to their life. You know, we live in a world where more people believe how they feel than they do what God's Word says. Do you know that? I'm telling you, it's amazing to me. The more people I talk to. I talked to a man, the one that I was telling you, that talked about rejecting the Spirit of God when it was placed in man. And he just kept saying, well, all my life, I've just believed this. Pray, Lord, open their understanding that they might understand the truths of God's Word. But I believe if we're going to understand God's Word and we're going to have that opening understood, or God's going to open that understanding, we have to read it. He's not going to open it up and implant it in our minds and souls so we don't have to do anything. Do we want to see things change in our life? As parents and grandparents, even grandparents, We ought to spend more time talking to our children about the Word of God and not just reading it to them. We need to go through it and study it with them. Try to explain to them. Let them be interactive. Let them be involved in trying to understand the importance of God in their lives. We show our children that everything else in this world is extremely important, don't we? Enjoying ourselves, traveling around, whatever it is you like to do, we spend an enormous amount of time impressing our children in that area. But if we're going to see change, it's got to start with the young ones. There's an old saying, it's hard to teach an old dog a new trick, and I'm telling you right now, I'm getting old enough to know that's a true saying. But, you know, we can change our ways. We really can. With the power of God and the help of Almighty God, we can change our ways. We can take the Bible that sits over there on the desk that we never read and make it a part of our lives. You know, I was reading some literature that Elder Don Watson gave me on the importance of God's Word. You know, a lot of people today believe that the Bible is not relevant for the time in which we live. You know, I'm talking about God's children. They don't believe that it could be beneficial in this new age that you and I have been born into, where we got airplanes and cars and rockets and whatever it else is that we've come up with. But I can tell you right now, God's Word is as relevant today as it ever was. Sin is the same today as it ever was. When Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it?" It's the same then. It was the same today. It'll always be the same until the Lord comes back. That's the nature of our hearts. That's not going to change. And when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, that's exactly what he meant. Man's heart and man's devices and man's intentions by nature will never change. We're prone to sin. We love to sin. Unrighteousness is in our ways. If it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God, we'd all be in that condition, left to be eternally separated from God forever. But thanks be to God for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that he bestowed upon each and every one of us, that one day we'll live with him. Not only is our eternal salvation given to us in God's Word, every other issue of life that we deal with is given to us in God's Word. And I believe it begins with the study of God's Word and the reading of God's Word on a regular basis. If you haven't been doing that, I know you can. The Bible may not be the easiest thing to read, but you know, in Brother Don Watson's literature, it tells us that the King James Version of the Bible is fifth grade reading literature. Do you know that? And the New King James is sixth grade. This is, and you go on, the New International Version is eighth grade literature. You see, we have changed the language and the reading in the United States so much over the course of time, we've made the Bible hard to read. We read through the commas and the colons and make it one sentence. Sometimes it's hard to understand. But I also believe that God intended for you and us to take this book and to read it and to study it through our entire lives. Have you ever noticed it's not like a biography? I never was much of a reader, as I said, but when I was in the seventh or eighth grade, there were some autobiographies about Buffalo Bill and Kit Carson and a few folks, big letters, and I read them and I loved them books, and seemed like when I started, I got to the end and I knew all I needed to know about them. I didn't need to go back and reread it. But when you read about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to get enough understanding to not go back. You're never going to get to the point to say, "Lord, I know it all. I don't need to go read your word anymore." You're never going to get to that point. The Bible was intended to be a study for life, however long that life is. And it's to help us along our way. God's word was written to help us, to help God's children, to help us identify the causes of our problems, and to help us overcome the difficulties that we face here in this life. You know, there's a verse, and I'm not preaching on today, but we go to Galatians chapter 6. It said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Do you know that Satan can use that in our lives? We can be headed in the right direction, pointed in the right way, doing the right things, and be walking around with our heads down, our shoulders slumped, not representing the children of God as we should. You know, we're told to love our enemies, bless them that curse us, do good unto them that hate us, and pray for them that despitefully use us, that we may be the children of our Heavenly Father. Do we represent our Heavenly Father in the manner that we should? Do we? Sometimes we get weary. We don't get tired of doing it. We just get tired in doing it. Sometimes when you try to accomplish something on your own without the help of God, it's easy to get weary. That's like I said this morning. If we're going to see change, it's going to take the power of God. We need to pray that God would open the heavens and pour out His Spirit upon us. That God's people would have a yearn and a desire to read and study His Word. Not only to come into the house of the Lord to hear the song sung, to hear the Word preached and to pray to Almighty God, but that we might take to God's Word regularly. That we might search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Timothy was wise into the Scriptures from a child. And I tell you, I think that probably made a great difference in his life. That ought to tell us as mothers and fathers and grandparents. We ought to spend a good deal of time talking to our children about the Bible. Do you think he become wise in the Scriptures? He just woke up one morning and that's the way it was? That ain't what the Word of God says. It says his grandmother was very influential in that process. You know, we're told, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the wife, being the helpmeet, the helper of the husband, should be involved very much with that too, in training your child in the home, in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord our God, in the ways of righteousness. But it's going to take some time and it's going to take some effort. And I'll assure you, I believe that if we do such, God will bless us in a mighty way. God will bless our nation. God will bless our churches. But I tell you, when you walk around the world today and you see so many that have such a lack of understanding of God's Word, and somebody believes what they believe and they really can't tell you why they believe it. Mainly this is what they've heard all their life. It's not according to thus saith the Lord. You know, back over in Psalms 12, we've got one book here, the Bible, that's still in still in existence today, still in our presence. Why is that? Because God promised to preserve His Word from this generation in Psalms 12 forever, forever. When Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, our desire to attain to His words ought to be the utmost priority in our life. The issues of life are found in God's Word, and we all have plenty of issues, don't we? One issue after the other, one storm after the other. Problems come to us all, but how we get through those difficulties and how we deal through those with those difficulties is presented to us in Scripture. The Scriptures made Timothy, through the study of them, wise unto salvation. Wise unto eternal salvation, wise unto timely salvation, wise unto every deliverance given to us in the Word of God. Paul was encouraging Timothy because he knew there would come a time when they would not endure wholesome, healthy instruction. They would not endure sound doctrine. You know, that's happened before. Happened with the children of Israel. I believe it's happening in the world we live in today. And we need to have more instruction in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of the ways of this world. You know, we're told to study to show thyself approved to God. We're told that we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a growth spurt that just lasts a month or two or a couple of years. It's a continual growth through our entire life. We're never going to learn so much about our God that we don't need to study His Word any longer. You know, if the more you study and the more that you pray that God would open your understanding, that God would enlighten you to His truth, I believe the more that we'll know and the better we'll be equipped to handle whatever life may present us. But when we don't study His Word, it's not long till we begin to take on the ways of the world. We become conformed to the world and not transformed. That's the way we are by nature. You know, we begin to believe what we hear, whether we've ever read it or not. And after hundreds of years, we are where we are. Not according to thus saith the Lord, it's according to thus saith the world oftentimes. That's where we end up. God's Word's important, very important. And we need to make it a part of our everyday lives. And we need to teach our children. We need, as grandparents and parents, that ought to be the number one priority in our lives when we're together with our children. No, not 100% of the time. I didn't say get up with your child and read from them the Bible, but it ought to be an everyday part. There ought to be a portion that you take and apply to the teaching of our children and our grandchildren. I know I need to do better in that area, and I hope if you fall into the areas I have, that your desire is to do better. But it begins with us understanding it. You see, in Hebrews chapter 5, there was a group of folks that had been in the church over 30 years, and they hadn't learned a thing. Can you imagine? It says they needed to be taught the oracles of God again. They hadn't learned a thing. That's what you call not studying. That's what would happen to our young children if they didn't go to learn to read, write, do arithmetic. If we shut down the schools, where would our society and our economy and all the things of this life be if our children wasn't trained? But what we need to understand, the training and the ways of the Lord are every bit, in my opinion, even more important than the natural ways that we're so involved in training our children and teaching them that they might get through life. May God bless us to show that importance, especially to the young folks, because God is able to lift us up even when things are not looking so bright. That's what Timothy was being told by Paul. He was being encouraged. You just keep on keeping on. You keep the faith no matter what anybody else does. You keep the faith and you keep coming. You keep preaching. No matter what the season is, you keep doing it. It doesn't matter if it's 10 of you over here or 3 of you over here, whatever amount there is, you keep doing it. You be faithful to the cause. Paul was. He was a faithful soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was ready to depart. You know, if you go to Philippians chapter 1, and I'll close on this, there was a time when Paul said it was his desire to go and be with the Lord. He was between the straits, you know. But I think he had some understanding that he was going to be acquitted, because he said it was far needful for him to stay. The Lord delivered him. But you go to the last chapter in 2 Timothy, and you're going to find that I believe the end of Paul's life is at hand. He's in prison, writing from prison, encouraging Timothy to come to him. Even though Timothy's discouraged, he said, you keep the faith. You continue on no matter what. No matter what decline you may see, no matter how bad it may get, you be faithful to the cause, and may you and I be faithful to the cause no matter what happens. And may God bless us to study his word, to read his word, and to be faithful until he returns or he calls us home. May God bless you is my prayer.